and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. We have been having fun with our series of comedians who made the jump from vaudeville to radio, and Bob Hope is one of the best. This week we have a gem of a program that still has that vaudeville feel, with Bob Hope as the master of ceremonies. The Intimate Review, sponsored by Bromo Seltzer, welcome Bob Hope for the first time in this rare recording. He does vaudeville-type sketch comedy, music, and jokes. It's still entertaining after all these years. Stay tuned for the second show with Judy Garland as Bob's guest star. The Intimate Review, first broadcast January 4th, 1935, on the Blue Network.
The Intimate Review, presented by Bromo Seltzer, the dependable relief for so many kinds of headaches.
Give me velvet lights and sweet music, a new in my eyes.
Tonight, Bromo Seltzer brings you a new 1935 edition of the Intimate Review. In addition to Jane Froman, Al Goodman and his Bromo Seltzer Orchestra, we also have a surprise for you, a new master of ceremonies, Bob Hope. But before I turn the microphone over to Bob, Al Goodman is going to play Stay As Sweet As You Are. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest master of ceremonies, Bob Hope, whom you'll no doubt remember from many Broadway hits, Ballyhoo of 1932, that beautiful operetta, Roberta, and the comedy star of that current laugh hit now on Broadway, Say When, Bob Hope.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks a lot for that beautiful introduction, but you stopped too soon. You forgot to mention some of the other shows I've been in.
You should thank me again, Bob. I saw those shows.
Ah, nice chummy program you folks have here. I should have brought my brass knuckles. In case anybody came in late, this is the Bromo Seltzer Intimate Review. It's quite a show. In fact, it's the biggest intimate review I've ever seen. It's really colossal in a small way. Why, right now, the opening number is on. 12 beautiful girls are doing a lovely dance. Of course, you can't hear them. It's a soft shoe dance. And next week, we're going to have the newest sensation, the bubble dance. A girl dancing with a big bubble. However, this being an intimate review, we're cutting it down. A midget with a marble. Now, as you know, we have the beautiful Jane Froman in our review and also Al Goodman and his orchestra. I'm very glad to be here on a show with Al Goodman and his boys. Al's an old friend of mine. We live at the same hotel. Al has one of the better rooms. He has a room with a window. I have a single bed and he has a double bed. Of course, he has to. His orchestra lives with him. But they're up now, and let's listen. Now, what are you going to play, Al?
Love is just around the corner.
Now, I'm sure you've got a better room than I have. This is the voice of inexperience, Bob Hope, conducting the Broma Seltzer Intimate Review. Everyone these days is interested in what's doing in society, so I'm going to bring you some of the latest society news. In Newport, Rhode Island, box of matches goes off in Reginald DePeister's hip pocket. No permanent damage, just a flash in the pan. Flash, Miami Beach. Young Tuffy Wellington, missing for 3 days, finally located. Had lost his trunks while bathing and was forced to keep running in and out with the tide. Cash, Larchmont, New York. Clenzo Fermented, prize fighter, marries the heiress to the Van Pelt Millions with the understanding that he cuts out fighting, cuts out all other women, cuts out drinking, and cuts out smoking. When last seen, Clenzo was cutting out paper dolls. Crash, the long-disputed issue as to whether Prince Mike Rubbercheck is one of the 400 has finally been settled. This department is glad to report that Prince Rubbercheck is one of the 400. He's one of the zeros. Well, I guess that's all the society notes for tonight, but wait. The best news of all is just coming in. Our charming songstress, Miss Jane Froman, is going to sing June in January.
It's June in January because I'm in love. It always is spring in my heart with you in my arms. Just white blossoms that fall from above. And there is a reason, my dear, your magical charm. The night is cold, the trees are bare, but I can feel the scent of roses in the air. January, because I'm in love, but only because I'm in love with you. clouded moon creeps across a clouded sky. Winds of January sigh and mourn. And yet it's June, I can see a sky of blue. Dear, a miracle is due to you. Just you, it's June in January.
Drawing up your own private specifications for a good headache remedy, wouldn't you make sure of these points? First, you'd want it reliable, tried, and tested. And you'd want it effective for as many kinds of headaches as possible. You'd want it to act quickly, to do something more than merely relieve the pain. You'd want it to help overcome at least some of the causes of the headache, to counteract harmful accumulations in the blood, because acid accumulation is often a cause, a factor in headaches. To relax and steady your nerves, because nervousness is so often associated with headaches. You'd want it to quickly overcome the effects of overindulgence, because headaches are so frequently a result of too much to eat or too much to drink. And finally, you would not want your ideal headache remedy to contain narcotics, nor to upset the stomach. Now, that sounds like a pretty tough prescription for any product, doesn't it? Well, it is. In fact, there are mighty few products of any kind that would meet it. But Bromo Seltzer will. The one and only Bromo Seltzer meets every one of these points. And, of course, that's the reason that Bromo Seltzer has been America's favorite headache relief for more than 40 years.
That was "I'd Like to Dunk You in My Coffee." This is Bob Hope back again. Al Goodman really played that number for the benefit of those who enjoy the finer things in music. You probably all recognize Mozart's undying melody, I'd like to dunk you in my coffee. Silly idea, telling a girl I'd like to dunk you in my coffee. Can you imagine trying to get Mae West into a demitasse? But seriously, a lot of people look down on dunking, but it's really an art. Did you ever try your hand at dunking, Fred?
Well, never past the first knuckle.
I see. Of the new school of dunkers, huh?
Yes, yes. I always use the straight cruller. I find it keeps the coffee out of my ear.
Oh, a straight cruller, man, eh? I see. Well, how many dunks do you get out of an ordinary cup of coffee with one of those streamlined models?
Well, it all depends on whether you're a dipper or a soaker.
Well, there's something to that, too. But we of the old school of dunkers don't consider the straight cruller sporting. We prefer the old-fashioned donut with a hole, which gives you the advantage of the overlapping grip and plenty of follow-through.
Well, of course, that's just two sides of the story, Bob. Let's ask Al Goodman.
Well, Goodman looks to me like an undercover dunker. How about it, Al?
Well, you two fellows are a couple of fancy dunkers. I just put on my bathing suit, shut my eyes, and dunk.
Uh-huh, an amateur, I see. Well, that's three systems of dunking, ladies and gentlemen. However, for the novice, I think the safest way to begin is to lay the donut on the table and pour the coffee over it. Play, Al, and lend a little class to the program, please.
That every review should have, along with music and comedy, something of an educational nature. Now, nothing is more educational than travel. And if you are contemplating a trip in the near future, no one is better qualified to help you in your plans than Bob Hope, president of the Hope Travel Agency. But why talk about it? It's 12 o'clock, and Mr. Hope has just arrived at the office.
Ah, that's all right, Miss Benson. I'll take it. Just get over on the other knee. Hello. This is the Hope Travel Agency. What is a tourist? Well, tourists are people who travel all over the world taking snapshots of themselves. Yes, this is Mr. Hope speaking. What? No, Hope. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, Hope. Yes, you spell it with an H, not a D. Yeah, that's right. H as in Harry, O as in Otto, P as in Percy, and E as in Eddie. What? Oh, you know all four of us. I see. You'd like to take a trip? Well, why don't you go to Venice? Oh, I see. The last time you were there, you had trouble crossing the street. Oh, there was a flood. Mm-hmm. But it's very different over there. At night, they set the clock and put out the catfish. What? You don't like Venice? Oh, you don't like the joke. I see. Goodbye. Well, there you are, Miss Benson. Another customer lost. Oh, by the way, what time are we eating your lunch today? Good afternoon, sir. You couldn't have picked a finer time to travel.
I'm here to collect the bill for the furniture company.
As I said before, you couldn't have picked a finer time to travel. Take a chair.
I'm taking them all.
Well, I wish they wouldn't slam the door like that. They're liable to wake up the wolf. Just sit down on the floor, Miss Benson, and take a letter. How do you do, madam? Won't you lie down? We're having the chairs done over.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, I'd love to go to Paris, but I can't speak the language.
Oh, it's easy. I took 6 lessons, and already I've forgotten to pay back my debts.
But my husband can't speak French either.
Oh, he doesn't need to. He'll have a lot of fun looking at the pictures.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about Paris. What else would you suggest?
Well, why don't you go to Athens, the home of Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates?
No, I don't care much for those Greek wrestlers.
I see. But Italy is very beautiful with its volcanoes.
Volcanoes?
Yes, you know those big things that steam and fume?
Oh, yes, I married one of them. I've always wanted to go to Egypt to see the Sphinx.
Sphinx?
Oh, the Sphinx knows all. Hears all and sees nothing.
What a bellhop he'd make. Would you like to go to Monte Carlo for the roulette?
No, I think I'll take the subway and go to Brooklyn for the bridge. Yes. Good day.
That was a grand slam, Miss Benson. Well, Fred, you tell. Where do you want to go?
Oh, Bob, I want to go where there are beautiful women and soft music. Sparkling wine, whispered words under a starlit sky.
Mm-hmm. Another customer for Brooklyn.
No, Bob. No, I want a ticket to Walla Walla.
A Walla Walla? All right, that'll be $40.
But I've only got 20.
Well, why don't you just go to Walla? Say, you don't have to travel to find beautiful women, soft music, whispered words under a starlit sky. We have all that romance right here with a lovely Jane Froman singing Blue Moon.
Once upon a time, before I took up smiling, I hated the moonlight. Shadows of the night that poets find beguiling seemed flat as a noonlight. Once I awoke at 7, hating the morning light. Now I awake in heaven. And all the world's all right. Blue moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, please adore me. And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, "Please adore me." And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue. Now I'm no longer alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
The next time you have a headache, or the next time you go to a drugstore to buy a headache remedy, just think of this fact. How many products have stood the test of more than 40 years of service to the public? Well, that's Bromo Seltzer's record. And it's all because Bromo Seltzer is an ideally balanced prescription for headaches. It contains five medicinal ingredients, not just one. You take it dissolved in water, and so you get the quickest possible relief from the pain of a headache. And in addition to this, you get other benefits that a remedy which fails to meet your specifications cannot offer. For example, Bromo Seltzer contains refreshing citric salts that rebuild your alkaline reserve and hasten elimination of harmful, toxic accumulations. Another benefit of Bromo Seltzer is that it gently relaxes you, steadies you. Why, you can take a pleasant Bromo Seltzer anytime, anywhere, and before you know it, the pain is gone and you are feeling just like your usual self. No, you don't want to take chances with products that make claim to be just as good as Bromo Seltzer. There just isn't any substitute. And let me remind you, too, that you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's fizzing or wait until the fizzing stops. Either way, it's quick and effective, and you don't have to wait for Bromo Seltzer to dissolve. Thank you, Al. Every week at the same time, we bring to you a show as sparkling and as easy to take as Bromo Seltzer. Listen next Friday to the Intimate Review, starring James Melton, Al Goodman's orchestra, and Bob Hope. Fred Utell speaking. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Tonight's music was Love is Just Around the Corner, and June and January from Here Is My Heart, I'd Like to Dunk You in My Coffee from Calling All Stars, Stay as Sweet as You Are from College Rhythm, and The Man I Love from Strike Up the Band. This is the National Broadcasting Company. WJZ, New York.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Bob Hope and Judy Garland in a very entertaining performance. By this time, Bob Hope was completely comfortable on the air, treating the whole thing like a wonderful joke that the audience was in on. His signature self-deprecating humor and a wonderful young Judy Garland make this show a treat. The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, with guest star Judy Garland, first broadcast March 7th, 1939, on NBC.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
The smiles of Pepsodent make bright for merry men. We'll shine tonight with brighter light. Here's hope that sunny gent.
Ah, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Pepsodent Kid, Bob Hope, still eating three meals a day with your teeth. I'm a little tired tonight. I just got back from the Santa Anita handicap. I would have been here sooner, but I stopped to have my barrel pressed. Santa Anita, that's the outdoor version of You Can't Take It With You. But really, it's beautiful out there, folks. The grass on the infield is gorgeous. After the fourth race, I had some of it for lunch. And they've enlarged Santa Anita this year, and I want to tell you, the whole place is run just like a machine, a vacuum cleaner. I've never seen so many people in one place. The crowds were so heavy, the pickpockets had to put on extra help. In fact, they were so busy, they wouldn't pick the pocket of a tweed suit. The fuzz slowed them up too much. One pickpocket lifted my wallet and the list of the horses I was going to bet on. He took one look at the list, handed me back my wallet, and gave me an extra dollar for car fare. And you should have seen the automobiles out there. I've never seen so many cars. It looked like the backyard of the finance company. I hear Morgenthau wants to trade his job for the parking concession. I came late and had to park at the end of the parking lot. In fact, when I got out of my car, I found out I had paid a quarter to park in my own driveway. They say it's hard to get back to town in traffic, but I fooled them. I left before the first race. I wish I had. Skinny gave me a tip on the handicap. He said the horse can't lose. The jockey's been eating garlic, and the horse will win trying to get away. First time I ever saw a jockey ride a horse backwards. I said, what's the idea of riding a horse backwards? He said, I have to. It makes the horse nervous to have anyone look over his shoulder. Nice horse. Every once in a while, he'd look around to see if his plow was on straight. He was so far behind, his tail showed in the photo finish. Really, the jockey pulled him up so much, it's the first time I ever saw a horse finish with a bit under his tail. I should have known better when I saw the jockey carrying an overnight bag. And now, Bill Goodwin.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is that grand little star from MGM, Miss Judy Garland.
And now, Skinny Edison, our six hits and a miss, swing out with Could Be. Take it, talent.
Skinny, could be he'll sing us a song.
Could be that yellow moon is just a big balloon, and not that yellow moon above. Could be that angel face is something out of space, and not that angel face I love. Could be this heart of mine is just a valentine, and not this heart of mine at all. Could be a dream I see, but if you're asking me, could be I'm in love, could be.
baby face is something out of space. It ain't the kind of face I love, oh no. Could be this heart of mine is just a valentine, and not this heart of mine at all. Could be a dream I see, but if you're asking me, could be that I'm in love, it could be.
Could be this dream I see, but if you're asking me,
really, truly, I'm blowing my top. Could be I'm in love, could be.
Say, Bob. Bob, you know, you really looked swell out there at the Santa Anita Derby last Saturday.
Bill, that's Derby. The English say Derby, and the Americans say Derby.
Yeah, and the losers say nuts. Yeah. Say, Bob, I hear the owners of the horses out at Santa Anita sit in boxes that have their names on them.
That's right, Bill. There's the Whitney box, the Vanderbilt box, Bradley, Astor.
Yeah, well, what was the name of the box you were sitting in, Bob?
A Sun-Kissed. Say, how did you like that suit I had on?
Suit? Where did you get that thing? It looked like it was cut down from a shroud.
Is that so? I'll have you know I was the best-dressed man at Santa Anita. I was a regular Bo Brummel.
Hello, Bo. What do you hear from the other Bummels?
Well, Patsy Kelly. Well... Say, Patsy, I saw you out at Santa Anita Saturday.
Santa Anita? Slot machines with horses.
Why, Patsy, it's a privilege to go to a beautiful track like Santa Anita. Why, do you know what the name Santa Anita means?
Oh, yes, I know. It's Spanish for hello, sucker.
Say, weren't you out there with Skinny and his brother?
Yeah, the three of us hitchhiked out there.
Didn't you? Really? Didn't your thumbs get awfully tired?
Oh, no, we didn't have to use our thumbs. We just waved Skinny's brother.
Well, tell me, is his brother that thin?
Thin? Why, that guy has to wear snowshoes when he takes a bath so he won't slide down the drain.
Now, wait a minute, Patsy. Skinny's brother isn't that skinny.
Oh, no, listen. That guy is so thin, he just got himself a daytime job stuffing olives.
Stuffing olives?
Yeah, he crawls through the olives, dragging the pimento behind him.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hiya, Skinny.
Well, if it isn't Tremble Tonsil.
Hello, Patsy.
Hello, Bated Breath. Say, why don't you inhale once and see how it feels to rough it?
Now, listen, see here, Kelly. You can't talk to me like that. Don't forget, I'm a man, incidentally.
Incidentally? You mean accidentally.
Listen, Kelly, before you say another word, just take a look at those bulging muscles.
Muscles? Where? I don't see any muscles.
Doggone it, I forgot to put them on tonight.
Say, Patsy, I heard that your family was out here for the big race.
Yeah, they just got here from back east.
Back east, huh? How are things in Pomona?
Yeah.
Say, I suppose they've been out to the studio to watch you make pictures.
Yeah, they came out on the set and watched me work on my last picture.
Say, I saw that picture, Patsy. Say, what were those swallows doing flying across the screen?
Those weren't swallows. My father was sitting on one side of the set and the cuspidor was on the other.
Say, well, what does your family think of our radio program?
Well, I'll give you an idea. I just got a letter from my uncle back in Brooklyn.
Really? What does he say?
Well, here it is. Dear Patsy, the Pepsodent Show is much improved. You're much better than you were. Skinny Ennis is much better, and Jerry Colonna is much improved.
Well, doesn't he say anything about me?
Oh, yes. Here. P.S. Hope you are the same. So long.
Say, Bob.
Yeah, Bill.
How long was that big race last Saturday?
Well, it was a mile and a quarter, Bill.
Well, just what does that mean, Bob?
Well, it means it was the horse's last mile and my last quarter.
Oh, well, now, don't be discouraged, Bob. You know our motto, never say die.
Never say die. Yeah. Opens at the Paramount Theater in New York tomorrow. Let me plug. Where were we?
Well, listen, if you ever get another quarter, I know lots of things to do with it.
What, for instance, Bill?
Well, for instance, Bob, for a quarter, you can get a tube of Pepsodent toothpaste. And that's the only toothpaste that contains irium. You know, irium is the lively agent that sparks up Pepsodent's cleansing power. Gently, safely, but ever so quickly, irium helps Pepsodent remove dingy surface stains from your teeth. Persuades your teeth to shine with natural brilliance. Brushing twice a day with Pepsodent plus irium is like spring cleaning your mouth. It gives you cleaner, brighter, smoother teeth and keeps them at high shining luster. The surefire recipe for a million-dollar smile is dazzling teeth. So why not invest a quarter now for a tube of Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium?
And now may I present one of the most charming and talented members of Hollywood's younger generation, soon to be seen in The Wizard of Oz, MGM singing sensation Miss Judy Garland.
Mr. Hope, I hope that you will not be cross. I hope that you won't think that I'm a bore. But when I heard you sing that lovely song to Shirley Ross, I knew that Gable didn't matter anymore. It had to be you. It had to be you. I looked all around and finally found marvelous you. For you are the one, say what you will. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. Had to be you.
Why, Judy, I didn't know you felt this way about me.
Well, Mr. Hope, I used to like Clark Gable and Robert Taylor, but you're different.
I know it, Judy. I've been told that before.
Gee, I've seen all your pictures, and I listen to you every time you're on the air, no matter what the rest of the family wants to hear.
Well, I hardly know what to say. Imagine meeting my fan face to face.
But, Mr. Hope, it's not that. It's deeper than that. You see, well, you're my crush. You're my dream man. You're my Prince Charming.
Now, wait a minute, Snow White. Let's not have a scene. After all, I may be just a passing fancy in your life.
Oh, no, Mr. Hope. This is the real thing. It's lasted almost 2 whole days.
Gosh, and in Hollywood, too.
Oh, you men are all alike. Always joking. Why, I don't think you even know what it means to have a crush on somebody.
Oh, don't I? How do you think I felt last week when they told me Hedy Lamarr to elope with someone else?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I suppose you feel you just ought to go out and jump off a cliff and end it all.
Well, I want to have a long talk with Madeline Carroll first.
Oh, well, never mind them, Mr. Hope. I'm not like other girls. I'm willing to take you just as you are. Isn't that just too wonderful?
But, Judy, look, I'm flattered. I'm glad that you told me, only...
Only what?
Well, do you think I'm your type?
Oh, Mr. Hope, I know I'm not worthy of you, but you don't have to love me right away.
But, Judy, I mean, after all, I'm not exactly...
Oh, I might have known it. Are you somebody else's crush?
Well, not exactly, but, well, there are some strings attached.
Oh, then you are someone else's crush.
Well, I was, but she married me.
Gee, that's awful. But I can go right on having a crush on you, can't I? From a distance, I mean.
Judy, with so many other handsome men in Hollywood, why did you have to pick on me?
Well, you see, Mr. Hope, it was like this. First, I picked out Clark Gable to have a crush on. But I had too much competition. He didn't appreciate me.
Oh, well, what could you expect from that tap dancer?
Then I had a crush on Robert Taylor, but I guess I had too much competition there, too. And after Robert Taylor, all there was left was a choice between you and Tyrone Power.
Tyrone Power. Beauty versus beast.
And I picked you. I guess I was tired of competition.
Yeah. I guess so.
Oh, Mr. Hope, you're wonderful. Say you'll be the man of my dreams.
But, Judy, really, I'm not the kind of man for you. I'm not good enough for you. Well, I pull little dogs' tails, and I take candy away from babies. And once I gave a canary a hot foot.
You're so brave and masterful.
Well, maybe I am on the surface, but underneath I'm a no-good guy, Judy. Take my word for it. Hope is a louse. Oh,
but you're a good louse.
Yeah. No, Judy, it's no use. We couldn't get along together.
Then you're turning me down?
Don't take it so hard, Judy. None of the others did.
All right. You don't have to tell me. I know. It's the old, old story. It's the woman who pays. I'm sorry I bothered you. Now I know how Greta Garbo felt when Robert Taylor left her in Camille. But don't worry about me, Mr. Hope. I'll recover. Time is a great healer. But I won't forget. I never will. Though you're a cat, I love you still. It had to be you. What could you? Had to be you.
Say, Judy, can a cad say a few words in his own defense before you go? Tell me, why don't you have a crush on someone near your own age?
Well, most of the boys I know think I'm only an in-between. You know, not old enough to be a glamour girl and too old to go around with dolls.
Well, I hope I'm never too old to go around with dolls, but you know... You know, Judy, I've been having the same trouble you've had. Tell me, do you think I'm old enough for Carol Lombard?
Well, of course.
And I guess she has some other reason.
That's too bad. Well, so long, Mr. Hope. I've got to go now.
Judy, you can't get away without giving us one of those Garland specials.
Well, all right. Would you like to hear Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones?
Would I? Let's have it.
Hey, Rufus, Rastus, Brown, spread the news around, all around the town. Say, it's a holiday, stop your work and play, hurry on your way. Tell the world about this celebration. This is one thing that concerns the nation. Sing the glory, hallelujah. Get Hosanna running through ya. I am here to say it's a big holiday everywhere. For the Jones family has a brand new heir. He's the joy heaven sent, and we proudly present Mr. Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. When he walks down, he'll never will meet with a name like the name that he got today. When he walks down the street, folks will say, please to meet Mr. Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. What a smile, and how he shows it. He'll be happy all day long. What a name, I'll bet he knows it. With that handle, how can he go wrong? And the folks in the town all agree. He'll be famous as he can be. How can he be a dud or a stick in the mud when he's Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones? Go to sleep, my baby, and maybe you'll be a Democrat by and by. Oh, you're a lucky baby with Franklin D. for your name. Mrs. Jones's baby boy is a welcome resident. Give him a fishing rod for a toy. He's the future president. Hooray for young Franklin D. Jones. Give a cheer for the babe of the year. Oh, how can he be a dud or a stick in the mud? Just you wait and see. He'll make history, 'cause he's Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones.
Thank you very much, Judy Garland. That really was great. And now, here's a word from Bill Goodwin, who has a crush on Irium.
Thank you, Bob. Nearly all toothpaste comes in a tube, keeps fresh, and is pleasant enough to taste. You can expect this from any toothpaste. But Pepsodent toothpaste has all of this, plus an important something the others haven't got. The extra something is Irium. That's the lively super addition that steps up Pepsodent's action, brightens the results. Irium helps Pepsodent remove the unattractive surface stains that cloud over your smile. It brings out the natural luster. At least twice a day, night and morning, every day of your life, brush your teeth with Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium, and you'll quickly be rewarded. It won't be long before you'll say, "I never dreamed my teeth could sparkle so. I never knew my mouth could feel so fresh, so clean." It certainly feels grand to have well-groomed teeth.
I have eyes to see with, they see only you.
And now Bob Hope brings you his version of that popular new song hit, I Have Eyes.
I have eyes to see.
Bob, shh.
Yes, Bill, shh.
Bob, listen. I have a swell idea how we can both make money.
No, Bill, this year I'm going to pay my income tax.
No, that isn't what I mean. I think we ought to become spies. Shh. Important spies.
Don't be silly, Bill. There's no money in spying.
Oh, no? Did you ever see a house detective on relief?
Yeah, I guess spying is a good racket if you don't lose your head.
You can be famous, Bob. Really, you can be famous. Think of the great spies in history. Think of Mata-Hari.
Ah, yes. Mata-Hari.
And think of Nathan Hale and Jonathan Daly and Benedict Arnold.
I can't, Bill.
Why not?
I'm still thinking of Mata-Hari. But really, Bill, I couldn't be a spy. I don't know how to act.
Bob, let's leave your picture work out of this.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I'll go into the spy racket with you, but I'll have to get a spy suit.
A spy suit? What's that?
Oh, it's nothing. You just go out with a bloodhound and a black coat and vest.
And what pants?
The bloodhound.
Well, come on, Bob. Let's get busy.
Okay.
The Hope and Goodwin Spy Salon. A snitch in time pays the rent. What's that? A Hope and Goodwin very good at shadowing people in dark alleys? Well, I should say so. They're real slinkers. No, I said slinkers. Okay. Just a minute. It's for you, Cheese.
Cheese, Patsy, that's Chief. Take the script and read it.
That's Cheese. Take the script and smell it.
That's Cheese. I'll take the script and eat it. Hello?
This is Spy Number 1X reporting from Africa, Chief.
Greetings, Spy 1X. Where's Spy 2X? Isn't he with you?
No, Chief. The cannibals had 2X for breakfast.
Come in.
Hello?
Hello. Say, Bill, look, she's beautiful. What grace.
Yeah, what form?
What telephone number?
Hello?
Hello?
My name is Vanya Tanya Sonya Henyan Afgranovich Babuchka. Oh, but you can call me Tutsky.
Well, what do you want with me?
Oh, I need help. If you do not help me, I shall have to kill you.
Kill me? Kill me?
Yes, I will shoot you or stab you or poison you. I'll take you in my arms and squeeze you to death, smothering you with kisses. How would you like that?
I'd like that. Say, where do you come from, Tootsie Wootsky?
I come from the little country of Schlemilia.
Schlemilia! What a small world this is.
Ah, yes. I shall never forget my last day in Schlemilia. Bombs bursting. People were dropping like flies. The streets were covered with blood. Oh, it was so beautiful.
I can see. Look, Tutsky, what can I do for you?
You must save me from my cousin, the ambassador from Schlemilia, Rat-Face the Repulsive.
Well, what happens if I find him?
Undoubtedly, he will kill you.
And what happens if I don't find him?
Undoubtedly, I will kill you.
What's in it for me?
Either way, you'll be buried with full military honors. Until then, I say, hello.
Yeah. Come on, Patsy, we got to go to the Schlemilian embassy.
Right. Hello? Oh, it's for you, Chief.
For me? Hello.
Mr. Hope.
Yes?
Say, listen, you'll never catch me, you old spidery spy, because you're just a ham and hams can't fly. I ask myself this as I flit on my way. Is Hope a big dope? Oh, boy, I'll say.
Say, who is this?
Oh, just a great big stork.
A stork? What are you doing here with me?
Just looking over one of my mistakes.
Come on, Patsy. Let's go to the embassy and meet Ratface the Repulsive. Here we are. This looks like the embassy.
Yeah, look at that sign. Embassy of Schlemilia. Office hours, 12:30 to 1. Treaty's broken Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Goodman, you stay outside, and if we have any trouble with Ratface, blow up the embassy.
Right, Chief. Are you armed?
And how? I'm armed to the teeth.
Say, you'd better not yawn or that club will fall out.
Ring the bell, Patsy.
Hello?
Tootsky.
Hoopsky.
Runsky.
No, Patsy, don't run. I'm right behind you. Where's Ratface, Tootsky?
Here comes Ratface now.
Greetings, Rat. Meet a diplomat.
Why, it's Professor Colonna with the Bay Rum Aroma. Tell me, are you the ambassador?
Ah, yes, and I'm the president, secretary of war, navy, state, interior, exterior. In fact, I'm the whole schlemiel.
I can believe that.
And who is the little wren with you?
This is Matta Kelly, the international spy. She loves you, Professor.
Ah, my little Matta. You've made me so much gladder, and all my cares would scatter because your heart belongs to Data.
Professor, tell me, were you ever caught as an ambassador without portfolio?
Ah, yes. Briefcase, wasn't it?
What has been your worst experience, Professor?
Once, for no reason, I was held for treason and placed against the wall to be shot.
Did they shoot you?
I don't know, Nave. I was blindfolded. Will you pardon me? I feel a bomb coming on.
Ambassador, you've blown up the whole block. Why did you throw that bomb into the street?
I love parking space.
Well, Professor, your goose is cooked.
Why so, Nave?
I can prove that you're a traitor and have been carrying on with the enemy spy, Sonya the snitch.
What proof have you?
I was in a closet and took a picture of you kissing Sonya. Here, look at the picture. What do you think of that?
Not bad. I'll take a half a dozen.
Come on, Hope. Let's get out of this place. This guy's a screwball.
Yes, isn't he? Who said that? I did. And I apologize. Colonna, I'm sorry I insulted you. Silence. I refuse to accept your apology. I am a screwball. Colonna, you are not. I am. All right, you are. Oh, so you admit it. Take that. That's one tooth gone. And that. And that. Help! I'm shooting off my mouth.
Come on, Patsy. It's nearly midnight. Goodman should be getting ready to light the fuse.
Oh. Hey, look, the radio station blew up.
Well, I carried out your instructions, Bob.
But I told you to blow up the embassy.
Embassy? Great Scott, I thought you said NBC.
And thanks for the memory. If one more friend we've made with our small cavalcade, it's evident that Pepsodent will keep us on parade. So thank you so much.
Say, excuse me, Bob, but I hear you're having Jack Oakey as your guest star next week.
Yeah, and I'm really happy about that, Bill, for that great guy, great comedian Jack Oakey. And then we're going to have Patsy Kelly, Skinny Ennis and his band, our six hits and a miss, Jerry Colonna, and
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Bill Goodman. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
I Have Eyes is from Paris Honeymoon, and this is Bill Goodwin speaking. Don't forget, Pepsodent with Irium brings you Bob Hope next Tuesday night at the same time. Good night.
Joe has a slight cold. Emily has the grip. Tom is home with flu. Makes you wonder when your turn is coming. Well, don't wait for flu or grip or a cold to strike you before you do something. Start now this very evening to help guard against this epidemic. Gargle with Pepsodent Antiseptic. Because it contains chlorothymol, Pepsodent Antiseptic kills germs in seconds, even when diluted with two parts water. Pepsodent Antiseptic containing chlorothymol reduces the germ count in your mouth as much as 97%. And here's something to remember. No other leading brand can match Pepsodent's extraordinary germ-killing power. So gargle with Pepsodent antiseptic tonight. Taste chlorothymol in action and know that it's killing germs. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.